I'm glad that I can share my journey with you of mentorship experience that I have been receiving and how I have been also giving as well. If I were to introduce a little bit more than what my husband has said here, I am a wife. Yes, you have noticed. And we have two boys, Adam and Zach. Adam is almost 9 and Zachary is 6. Trustworthy one and a very inquisitive one. Third and kindergartners. They're praying for me that I don't get tomatoes thrown at me. But they're a bundle of fun. As you met my husband, he has been the biggest supporter, and I've been very thankful and grateful for him. And he has really enriched my life through that. And I'll share just a little bit about him a little later, too. Currently, our family is serving and worshiping at Young Nok Celebration Church. My husband had stepped down from pastorate 2 years ago, and he had been in church ministry for about 24 years. And in the last 7 years of our ministry, I had the privilege of serving as pastor's wife, and that was very growing and very stretching time for me. and he's taught here at Talbot for about 21 years so far. So it's been wonderful. Along with staying home and just mothering my little two boys, I also am involved with Talbot, Talbot School of Theology Alumni Wives Ministry, and I am actively serving in that with Rolaine Borsma. Also, occasionally I do serve with the Talbot Wives Fellowship and also Women's Ministry of Talbot. So it's been a lot of fun. God's continuing to really give me opportunities to really study on my own and contemplate and really trust God in what I am doing currently. So that's my family. They will disappear soon. But today I wanted to take my time to just share about my mentorship experience and how I have been receiving mentorship and also how I've been giving back to the younger women. And a little later, I also want to share about some of the guidelines. And today I'm just so excited to just share about the practical things that I have been utilizing in my mentorship, and hopefully you can take that with you to really utilize it for your mentorship and for you to even develop it even further. But before, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful presence. Thank you so much that you have gathered us to remember who you are and that we are your flock. Thank you that you are in our midst, and as we share your goodness and your mercy and your tender, loving care through the work of mentorship that Jesus has already modeled for us, help us to dig in and enjoy and really learn. We ask that you will be magnified in this time and this place, and guard my heart and my words, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If I can start with the wonderful mentors that I have had in my life. 42 years ago, I wouldn't start that far. I was born to my mom and dad. My dad was not a believer, but my mom was a very devout believer. And she took me to church, to Sunday school. She prayed with me. She went to these late night, Friday night prayer meetings at her Korean church, and she took me along. I don't know why. It was really dark. Everybody was praying out loud. But I just sat quietly and just prayed. I remember that. And this was definitely in Korea. And my mom is a significant mentor of mine because she had kind of set me up for, I guess, what my life would be. And it kind of came in this way where one day when I was 6, I was on my way to church. And on the way, I get into a car accident. I was 6-year-old, crossing a major street, came a speeding sedan and just hit me, knocked me out. Kind of weird. I didn't fly out, I didn't ricochet, but I just stayed right there, and it just kind of, and when I opened my eyes, it was pitch black. I was alert, but I was just, I was in disbelief. I didn't know where I was, and I heard a lot of panic. I heard a lot of screaming and voices, and it was very chaotic. long story short, they took me to the hospital, they checked me out, they got x-rays done, and they searched me inside out, and everything was fine. So they said, you can go home. So doctor was kind of like, what, did you really get hit by a car? So they were in disbelief. But that day, going back home, I remember what my mom said, and she said, you know, your life is not yours. And she said, God gave you second chance, and there's a reason for it. And she left it there. And for a six-year-old girl, well, what would I make of that? But I believe those words. God gave me a second chance, and this life is not my own. So along with that kind of mindset, I think I have, somehow my mom's words were really etched in my heart. So I lived that. And I think she had continued to pray for me for further development for myself, and she still does. And God continued to track me with other mentors in life. We moved to the States. I go to elementary school here in LA, and I grow up, and I have wonderful teachers I encounter, and I have discovered what a true love of discipler was in my college years. And one of the wonderful discipler I had, she really embraced me, and she really showed me how to embrace God through Bible study. And along with, of course, with Bible study, she really nurtured and cared for me. How are you really doing? How can I pray for you? And she was so sincere. And you know when someone is sincere. And she did that for me. And through that, I grew in leaps and bounds. And I got to really embrace my love for Christ as well through the scripture and through my sister. And during that time as well, at church, as I was serving, there was a wonderful woman pastor. She was so wonderful. She showed me how to really embrace little children and love them for who they are. And as a Sunday school teacher, it would just kind of caught me off guard, because my nature of doing things was, okay, you do it this way, all right? You follow the teacher and stop doing that. But that's not how she approached it. So I got to really learn from this wonderful woman of God. And she's at Yeongnak now. So I'm just really thrilled to be at the same church with her currently. Also through that, my college years were so pivotal for me. That those 4 or 5 years, after second year of schooling, I had the opportunity to go to a missions trip to Southeast Asia. And upon coming back, somehow God confirmed me, and he invited, and I had confirmed that, and he was willing to use me for missions. And upon taking that, I was really eager, and I was really excited to follow through with that, and God had given me various trips, and when I came back, he sent me a good amount of groups to kind of debrief and re-equip, and went on further trips, and I had a plan to extend my trip from small trips to short trips to 3 months trips to 6 months trips, and then to a whole year trip. And in between, all I do is just equip and develop where I'm going to go. And during those times, there was a missionary who I was in contact with, and he was very pivotal in ministering to me. You know, instead of doing everything, you can kind of focus and zone in to something, one thing that you can really do. And through his nurture, I realized this is what I could do. I could teach the Sunday school teachers in the overseas. So that's how I started developing myself, training myself in that regard. And down the line, God also gave me more specifics, as in doing missions for the Spanish-speaking world. So getting there took a long time, a lot of prayer, a lot of guidance, and this missionary was very pivotal in that for me. Fast forward, and I received some deacons who were mentorship from deacons who were wonderful in my Korean church. And one particular deacon is as old as my mom. My mom's, she's not actually that old, but what she offered to me was something that my mom couldn't offer to me. And she was able to work with the younger generation, and she definitely knew her generation, and she invited me, and she said, you know, Jennifer, can I ask you to teach me how to do flower arrangement? I'm like, oh, okay. And so we started spending our Saturdays doing that and arranging flowers for church altar. And I'm like, oh, I love doing this. I love to smell flowers. We can do this all day long. So that's how she approached me. But she's so smart and shrewd. She wanted to really take me under her wing, under that. And she started teaching me how to relate with first-generation Koreans. And as a second generation, how we work together with different generations. At that time, I'm thinking, yes, I'm willing to learn, but I'm thinking, God, does this have any meaning for me? Because I'm going to be going to missions, and am I going to be working with first gen and second gen, whatnot? But I realized God had already orchestrated all that, and he knew what my future would look like. And after I married Ben, of course, you know, we're in church setting, we're here at Talbot, we're constantly working with intergenerations. And that's become such an important role for me. I'm still in touch with her. She still always challenges me and has me thinking about things. So it's very dynamic. In our ministry, and probably for myself as a pastor's wife, my second year in ministry, there was a point where I felt like I hit the wall. And I was devastated because it was just so hard. Ben's just cruising. It's just me. But it was hard. It was tough. So we were so thankful. We had mentors, set of mentors, Walt and Marty Russell. They both married us. And Walt is also Ben's mentor, and he's also here as one of the breakout session speakers. They took us in. They just heard us out. And they heard all our frustrations. And they gave us guidance, counsel, and they prayed for us. And they did that many times for us, especially my second, third year of ministry. I don't know where I would be without those folks. And I really do feel that they are God sent to us. And lastly, I want to emphasize my husband. I know this is woman to woman, men to men type of mentorship. But because we're married, I think we have also had a time of where he really nurtured me and taught me hermeneutics and how to approach the Bible. I'm not saying I know everything about hermeneutics, but at least I can see how and what's at least right and what's wrong and what is some, you know, proper approaches to the text. So that has shifted my worldview and my biblical view because I was grown and I was raised with certain ways of just looking at the scripture, and it has completely revolutionized my approach to scripture, and that played a huge impact. I think he knows it. I tell him that. But more so, through all the wonderful mentors I have had, I received so much love, tremendous love, guidance, nurture, and prayer. And those are primary things I really remember. And none of them really overlapped, but still, I really value them, and I feel as though without them, I wouldn't be the woman that I am now. So I thank God for them. If you have noticed, there's a series of mentors that I just explained. And in our lives, there should be a series of mentors. Not one person usually has a complete package to give, walk through life and walk with you, you know, for your lifetime. So if you do find somebody, that's extremely seldom. But you have to recognize that each person has different giftings. And with that, draw your strengths from those who have those special giftings to develop yourself. There's also a saying that you mentor others as you have been mentored. And hopefully I can convey half the wonderful love, guidance, prayer, and nurture that I have received from the woman that I have taken from. And I am mentoring, and I am spending time with women. Some are more focused, some are more occasional. And in my past experience, a lot of my mentorships were from my church context. Female women, female church members, a lot of them young adults. I had many pastors' wives and even pastors' wives-to-be. Those were a lot of fun. And here's another big chunk of women. I do premarital sessions with my husband because he marries a lot of couples. And in fact, we just finished 142 weddings. He did. And I've joined him starting the 81st couple. So I've journeyed with them. And Ben has this rule where he doesn't marry them until he does 4 sessions of 4 hours each of premarital counseling sessions. And yes, we do a short meal, like hour, maybe hour and a half, and the rest of the time is devoted to counseling. But we do go through a book, and they read it beforehand, and we discuss, and we talk about more relevant things, and a lot of materials that needs to be stressed in marriage. So that's been a lot of fun, and through that, I get to connect with the women. And it's been wonderful. I love spending time with them, and it's definitely stretching for me, and I get to really practice ministering to them. So that's even, yeah, that's a wonderful opportunity I have. And through that, we have formed some mutual and wonderful mentorship and just occasional meets and saying, hey, how are you doing? How are you working with that area that you were struggling with? So consider mentorship and consider receiving mentorship if you haven't, to be an impactful leader. But if you haven't received mentorship, I don't believe that you shouldn't give one either. But depending on, you know, what Ben had mentioned earlier in his session, who should mentor, you know, be grounded and be mature, and I think you're able to. So with that said, let's go to the core of our stuff. And here's, what does the Bible say about mentorship? So upset. He took my stuff. But I'm going to highlight it, okay? Titus 2, verses just 3 to 5. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God would not be dishonored. I will go back to this a few more times in our time here. So I have my version of mentorship. What is mentorship? Hopefully it doesn't conflict with Ben's. It doesn't. But foremost, I want to say mentorship is faith-based relationship. It is faith-based relationship. It can be, but although it may not be a Bible study, this is a relationship where there's shared acknowledgement of lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives. And I think that's very important, where you share the same faith base. Otherwise, what we're trying to achieve here does not get achieved. And somebody did ask me, what if one person is a Christian and the other is not? Then it's just an evangelism, perhaps. And, you know, you want to still show good modeling and good virtue as a Christian, but that could be an evangelism. But faith-based relationship. Another one is mentoring is time of growth and gleaning wisdom and sharing lives between older and younger sister in a specific context. And this, I say, in a specific context, as in, like, raising young boys. Another one would be like grad school in nursing program. Another context would be serving in women's ministry. And another one would be role of pastor's wife. And much more. And even from Titus 2, you can already gather different contexts there. And we need to specify exactly how we will be spending our time if you are able to do that. And that it will be more concentrated and more deep. Next area of what is mentorship is mentorship is time of sharing a skill set where generally the mentor has substantial experience and tools in the specific life context. And by virtue of older woman just having just lived longer, she would naturally have more experience. But of course, woman who is mature and grounded in the Lord, she will definitely have more to offer to younger women. And if I were to use an example in pastor's wife's context, the skill set would look something like how to deal with conflicts in ministry, how to support your husband who is the pastor, that's another one, and how to juggle family and ministry together. And even those little small topics, there's so much that we can branch off. And sharing that kind of skill set if you are in that kind of situation. So here's my version. Who should mentor? Okay, and this goes back to earlier screen. Older women mentors a younger woman. Older woman who lives a surrendered life to God typically should mentor. And they usually possess greater wisdom and experience in various contexts. Yeah, so one who surrendered to God. Women who honor God, upholding the virtues described in Titus 2, women who model and teach the practices described in the text. So modeling and teaching what? If you ever wonder, I'll take you right back to Titus 2, which is showing reverence in behavior, not to be slanderers, not slaves to much wine, teaching what is good, to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to work at home, to be kind, to be submissive to their own husbands. I think what I'm probably best among what I just read is not slave to much wine, because I don't drink at all. But you get the drift. When a mentor models well in what she does and she lives it out, and when you are making a point to teach your younger sister something, it is very well taken, and she will grab it, and she would own it, and she would utilize it, and she would see how it is modeled and lived out in the mentor's life, and so she will naturally take it in. And I think that's very powerful. Another area is she should be self-aware. Woman who is very self-aware, meaning she knows her spiritual gifts. She knows what that looks like, how she practices it. She knows her personality type. She knows her strengths, her weaknesses. She has to know her limitations and where she's not very strong in. So a few of the assessments that I can just share with you for spiritual gift is spiritual gift inventory. You can find that on website. Personality type, Myers-Briggs testing assessment, and then for strength, there's Strengths Finder 2.0. These are just assessments for you to just get an idea of, you know, yourself and to evaluate yourself and know your strengths and your limitations. These tools will really help her, the mentor, to know herself, and that does wonders for me when I discover who I really am and how I am wired. And I can definitely utilize this in my mentorship and utilize my strengths in my mentorship, if all possible. And at times, you know, just because I'm associated with Ben, some women think I could do everything. And in fact, especially when it comes to like a theological area, oh boy, I shiver and I literally want to hide because I'm not really strong in that. I think I understand it, but I'm not able to really verbalize and teach in that capacity. So when somebody comes to me for, hey, theology, do you think you could help me with better understanding and getting a good grip of theology? I would say, well, you should go talk to somebody else like either Marty or another friend. And it's good for me to know who has strengths, because when they come to you, you can refer to them, and you know they're sound people who are your who, you, and that has wonderful benefits as well. So know that. So woman who went, a person who mentors should be surrendered to God. Woman who models and teaches Titus 2, and woman who is self-aware of her strengths and even her limitation. Next part, I want to spend some time in the framework of mentorship, or somewhat like guidelines. Some have asked, you know, how do you get started in mentorship? Where do I find people? And in church, in, you know, campus ministries, leaderships, maybe conference, maybe through a friend. There's a lot of different areas. But as you pray, God would guide you to a particular person that you may be needing to be spending time with. But approaches in pairing I want to talk about is, how do you get paired up? And you know, it's nothing really outrageous or nothing very creative. It's very simple. Older asks the younger. Older sister asks the younger sister to mentor. Remember what I mentioned about the deacon at my old church? She approached me and she said that, you know, I saw a lot of potential in you, and I can see you being a liaison type for both generation and working with first generation and second generation. She approached me with purpose and she said, I want to journey with you. Can I invest in you? And can I share my life with you? And we actually spent like almost 10 months intensively meeting during that time. So older sister, be on the lookout for somebody who you can develop and really invest in and share the word of God and share his giftings in you. Next one is younger sister asks an older sister to mentor. I think a lot of us younger sisters see older women teaching or serving or even just praying on their knees a lot, and we might not see that. But when you notice it, and somehow if you realize it, what are you waiting for? All they can say is, I'm sorry, or no. That's not too hard to take. Approach them and ask them and say, I really want to learn from you in this area that you do so well. You know, you're in your grad school and you're thinking, wow, you see a woman in your ministry who's already a dentist and she's thriving in that, and you're going into school in dentistry, and you seek her out and say, can you help me? Can you help me the ropes? Another one of pairing is bridge pairing or bridge mentorship. And in this, usually there are, you know, outsiders or different people bringing you guys together. And it may take a little bit more time in getting to know them, but still, there is that mentorship can be formed in that. Okay. There are variety of mentorship, and as I have mentioned earlier, there are lifelong mentors, like my mom, and she's actually praying for me at this very moment as well. And there are occasional mentorship where I still meet with the deacon. Well, there's two deacons from the church, and we're going to get together soon after this conference. And also, I met up with my college discipler, and well, it's been a long time since I graduated college, but I hadn't seen her for a while because she was in the mission field, and I didn't get to catch up with her in more like 15 years. And last month, I got together with her, and we met at 85 degrees, and it was fun, and we're just having coffee and some Danish, and at the end of it, I mean, my heart was full. But I also walked away with some sores. You know what kind of sores? If you follow me on Instagram, you would know. I had table burns on my elbow. How do you get that? And I had my elbow up at the table. And I know that's bad manners too. And I was intensely just listening to her and sharing with her. And at the end of 4 hours, I felt a little bit of pain. Oh, my skin had completely rolled off.
Oh, damn.
The scabs just came off like 2 weeks ago. So intense, and it could be so good, but you just have to find the right mentor, and it's yeah. So I'm really blessed to have her in my life. Last but not least, I want to call this focus mentorship, and I want to spend the rest of our time just talking about the focus mentorship that I have learned from and I have prepared to share with you. In this, if you would, I think it's so important for you to set some structure in the time frame or the duration of your meeting. And this is important because you will see why. Most people start from 4 months to 12 months, some to 2 years. And I think it really depends on what the context of mentorship is and what you're trying to achieve in that mentorship. But I prefer 6 months to start. And I recommend 6 months. And if need be, at the end of it, you can always extend or renew that commitment. And I like to also meet twice a month. Who has time to meet every week? But twice a month, because for continuity and also for not losing momentum. You don't want to meet, if you don't meet regularly enough, all you're going to do is play catch up. And if you don't want to devote all that time, valuable time, into just playing catch up, right? So you want that momentum to continue on. And I think that's very important. And also, each meeting, I would recommend that you meet from anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. Some women I have met full 4 hours and even some more. But few women, 2 hours is good enough and we're done. And it's great. But sometimes I extend it to 4 hours because, you know, I think us Asian women, it takes longer for us to, like, you know, surface things. And I realized that, you know, after I share, like, bulk of my story and this and that, and then she may say something. And usually that's at the initial part of mentorship, but, you know, it does progress and it gets really rich. But very important. And if you somehow miss one of the meetings, I highly recommend that you make it up 2 times a month. Be committed to it and stick to it. By the way, before I forget, pass this around.
Take one and pass it around.
Stick to it. Stick to mentorship. And also, importance of having time frame and time structure in mentorship. I think there needs to be a specified time limit. When the pairing is sometimes painfully mismatched, I don't know, you might know what that means if you had already mentored. You know, it's very, very difficult. God have mercy, right? But time limit is good, and I recommend 6 months because, you know, it does end in 6 months. And you remind yourself, you gotta stick to it. It's not about abandoning. You gotta model it, right? You gotta model that. You stick to it and you walk with her for 6 months. On the positive note, you know, you don't wanna take 6 months for granted either. It could be wonderful, it could be fun. You're becoming wiser, you're learning all these skill sets, but you know, you have to maximize your time and really stay focused on what you're doing. Dig and learn. Another one is you need time structure so that you prevent unhealthy attachments from forming. So what does that mean? I think the longer the mentorship goes, it can be kind of easy for the younger sister to rely on the mentor, where she will come to you for everything. Like, so tell me about this. What would you do in this situation? And I don't mind sharing, and I think it's good. And I've done that too. But when she's not thinking for herself at times, and she's more than capable of doing it, but she doesn't think for herself. I think early on, that's a very good practice to share a lot. But towards the end, I would like to ask them more, like, so how would you handle this situation? Kind of give them practice and see where they're going. And that goes for resources, spirituality. That goes for just sometimes just being in my arms. I want to say probably in my just being brought up in Korean family, and also my parents were not very affectionate. Not to say all Korean parents are not affectionate, but my parents were not. When I graduated from college, my dad gave me a sign. I felt so embarrassed. I was doing this, but, you know, and so I learned to not be affectionate. But over the years, and after I had my boys, I learned actually affection from my little one, Zachary, because he's immensely affectionate. He kisses me, he wants to hug me constantly. So, you know, what I learned with my boys, I kind of transferred it to the woman I share my life with. And at one point, I remember one of the sisters saying, Jen, you're like the most affectionate person I know. So when I heard that, you know, God's really utilizing what I learned from my boys to the woman. So that was very encouraging and empowering. But, enough said about that. Another one is to pace the tempo. Pace the tempo of your mentorship journey. You don't want it to be too laxed. What will you have achieved at the end of 6 months? Would you have just drank 5 gallons of coffee? I don't mind. I love coffee. But that's not all you should have done in 6 months. You need to be very intentional and think about the rhythm and the tempo of your mentorship. And for example, the first month, I would call it like discovery period. Get to know her and spend a lot of time and, well, 2 meetings, right? Really get to know her and just figure out her background, what her strengths are. And if you can do the assessment test, it's wonderful. It sets you up. About a good 4 months, I would like to call it engagement. And really engage in the context that you are trying to aim and where you both agree to spend time in. And the last month, I will call it wrap up. And just evaluate and just assess how you've been doing. And if you have the time and if you're able, you know, just give her some tips. And for her to kind of write out some stuff, you know, this is what I envision myself doing in the next, you know, for so long and doing this, or what her set of goals is for herself to be on her own and for her to mentor others. So I thought that was very necessary. The next part, I overuse the word focus. The focus of mentorship. So I hope you remember the focus. Focus of mentorship. In brief experience, but I did have I had opportunities with probably more than 3 dozen women to share this in my last 8 years of my ministry to the women. And I really firmly believe that you have to meet them where they are. You got to meet them where they are. And I had this temptation to kind of approach them with a cookie cutter, like make her just like this. At the end of it, she's going to look like that. And another one, bam. She would look exactly like that cookie cutter. But, you know, that doesn't work. And I learned from my error. And I realized, you know what? I got to really remember what her strengths are. Know her background, what her strengths are. And I have to really learn her well in order for me to be best, invest my time with her and to be very profitable. And one of those things was to embrace her difference from other women. And also really gearing to know her needs. With this part, I'm really reminded of how Jesus met Thomas. And you all know the story where Jesus was crucified, he was buried, he rose again in 3 days, and he sees some wonderful woman, and they run off and tell the disciples, Jesus is alive, Jesus is alive. And remember Thomas, one of the disciples, he wouldn't believe. And he said, I can't believe. I won't believe unless I see him and I touch him. And what's so amazing and dynamic about how Jesus meets him is he just appears to him in an enclosed room with other disciples there. And he just zones into Thomas and says, Thomas, I'm here. Touch my side. Touch my pierced hand. And he does. And surely he believes and he says, Lord, my God. And he kneels down. I think that is just so powerful how Jesus knows exactly how to meet Thomas. And I don't think I know how to do that, but I'm striving that area. I'm striving that direction. And I hope you will be encouraged by this, how he meets Thomas's need. Another one, how you should meet them where they are, is, of course, just kind of follow up on the spiritual gifts, the assessment resources, spiritual gifts, personality, Myers-Briggs test, and StrengthsFinder 2.0. Know how she's wired. Know how she grows. What are her growth mechanisms? And utilize them to nurture her. If she doesn't grow well just by audibly, don't always talk to her. Maybe you need to go to conferences, you know, see some writing, go see a drama, go do something creative where you know she would be triggered and she would start thinking and she would really be challenged in that regard. Know her growth mechanism. And so important, establish tangible goals. Goals or expectations. And this part, I want to say that the mentee determines which context and how and sets some goals and how she would journey with the mentor. But both need to agree on that, of course, and in the context that the mentor also flourishes in as well. And one of the examples will be kind of going along with earlier context is like, for example, nurturing toddler boy in Christian approach, if you're a mom. Another one is receiving guidance in first year as a nurse practitioner now. And another one would be shadowing a woman or a sister in women's ministry, and you want to learn, and you follow her, and you shadow her in that capacity. And another one would be five ways to prep to become a pastor's wife. And if you can kind of place your goals or expectation, you have something concrete to follow. So you don't always talk about, you know, I have this temptation to talk about other stuff and kind of wander off. And I do that. Mm-hmm. And so I got to remind myself, wait a second, this is our goal here. We got to do this. Good way to bring you back. So when should you establish the goal or goals? And I recommend you do it on the second meet. So first month, second meet, and only because you want to make connection with her first. Don't meet with her and say, okay, let's hash it out. Mm-hmm. Let's set some goals right now. If you do that, it just becomes a program. And I don't want to treat, I'm sure you don't either, you don't want to treat them as a project or a program. And after making connection with her, you want to establish some direction with her and knowing where, you know, where she will really have interest in. Okay. This part I really want to share because I encountered it many times. And having established your goals and something like this, you have urgent discovery. And I want to say urgent discovery over established goals because after establishing your direction with your sister and you stumble on this major hindrance or something that surfaces and this has nothing to do with your something that you signed up for, right? And this doesn't happen all the time, but it happens occasionally. And we really do have to expect the unexpected. And if this happens, you want to assist your younger sister if you are able in that context of whatever she is having a hard time with. Otherwise, get help and still journey with her during that 6 months. Don't abandon her. I think that's another biggest commitment where you can stick with her and be with her, even though you have no say or no idea what that needs to, how that needs to be dealt with. But if you are by her side praying for her, I think that's one of the biggest ministry and biggest mentorship you can really have effect on. Dr. Oskinis talks about going forward by going back first in his book, Renaissance. And, you know, this is so true in mentorship as well, because how can you go forward in helping the sister become a wonderful pastor's wife when she has other issues that rises? Sometimes you have to step back, trace back, to work on some stuff, repair, and even correct some wrong mindset or some brokenness that she may have in order for her to move forward. And this is very powerful. He says it so well. Going forward by going back first. I had one experience where I was mentoring a sister in becoming pastor's wife. And in our earlier on in our time, thank God, I discovered that she had deep-seated bitterness for her family. Whew. So she was extremely unhealthy. She had disdained view of just others, not just her family, and it kind of started trickling to others as well, outside of her family, and mostly for herself too. And my response was, okay, we got to stop on the focus of becoming pastor's wife. We got to kind of set it aside. And I had to really tend to her pain, hear her. She had tears and tears. And in fact, I felt like, you know what? I wonder if this was the core, what God wanted me to really minister to her, you know, and tend to her, just hear her out, pray with her, able to just help her to forgive them for whatever they did and the details of it. And finally, help her to just surrender all of that to God, her family, herself, her relationship. And for that particular woman, we didn't go far in how to become pastor's wife because we spent majority of our time in this. And I feel like she's like my little baby in that where, oh, it's just so tender to me, and I pray for her even more and even more with more affection. But during times like this, I realized that you need special set of tools. The mentors need special set of tools, and that would be, and I want to call it tools of adore. And A4, she should acknowledge God. The mentor acknowledges God. She has to discern by the Holy Spirit. She can't make her own decisions. She obeys the word of God, what's already in the scripture, and that becomes her foundation. And if need be, she redirects the situation of that sister. For example, what I had, I'm like, well, let's put this aside. Let's just work on this, and let's talk about forgiving your family. And finally, the mentor encourages the younger and continue to build her up. And, you know, the word adore, that's another synonymous word for love. And really loving on her and caring for her and how I can really best exemplify Christ, how Christ really tended to his disciples and the people that he even ran into on the streets. So to adore that situation would be wonderful. And finally, I think this is the thrust of my mentorship talk. Pray, pray, and pray. Pray for that sister. Pray for her before you meet with her and ready your heart. And you ask the Holy Spirit to ready your sister's heart. That what is to come that meeting, that it will be powerful and that the Holy Spirit will guide you. After you're gone, you're done, she leaves, you pray for her after and say, God, please protect her from this. Please shield her. Please go ahead of her to prepare these things for her. But more so that she will be really yielded to the Holy Spirit. Believe it or not, I prayed for you guys before, for last few weeks, that we would somehow the Holy Spirit would speak to you. Through this mentorship, and even specifically in our time. Pray with the sister. Pray during your meeting time. Designate a time, or you will know when to pray for her. I usually do it towards the end of our time where we know where we want to go and what we have shared. And I think that means so much, where you're really acknowledging God in your midst. And that it's not solely my experience and my wisdom that she's taking, but we're really surrendering this to God, that it's in his hands. And with that, I think, you know, the sister will learn that, okay, who is the focus? The Christ. Who is the focus? Our Lord. So pointing to the cross in that regard. And lastly, be prayed for by the sister. Let your younger sister, the mentee, minister to you. And I've had this luxury where a lot of my mentees are prayer warriors. And it's been really fabulous. I've benefited so much from them. And not just prayers, but even especially in their prayers, and when I ask for prayers and when I dialogue with them, they have so much depth and they have so much to offer to me that I wasn't able to give to them. And you would discover that in your mentorship as well, because God has really wrapped us very uniquely, individually. What you may offer, I may not have. And really acknowledging and focusing on what special giftings that God has given us and that God is desiring to develop us. Be open to that. I'm really grateful that God has given me so much wonderful mentors in my life, and I hope to return that love and favor. But more so because that God compels me to do it, not as a duty, and that I hope that you will continue to develop your love for being loved and also to love others and to adore them as you encounter your fellow sisters in church, at your workplace, or even in your ministries. Thank you so much. Can I pray for us before we close? Father, thank you so much for your gracious love and the way how Jesus already showed us and exemplified what it meant to love his disciples. And God, as we attempt to mimic that and to learn from Jesus, God, we ask that the Holy Spirit will really aliven that in us and that we will be compelled to love you in ways that we will, in ways of mentoring our younger sisters. God, give us opportunities. Give us wisdom. Help us to be prayerful. And help us to really acknowledge you in our midst and that you would carry us through and help us to discover you in a real and powerful way. We thank you for today. Continue to teach us throughout rest of today, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I think we might have 5 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, if you have any questions on clarifications on the lecture. Did I say lecture? Whoops, my sharing. I'm not a teacher. So. Well, maybe take... Yes, Pastor Roddy.
I have a question. I actually have 2 questions. The first question is, as a male pastor, how can I facilitate the women in our ministry to take up mentorship and affirm them? I noticed that a lot of our women kind of want to be involved, but they have maybe a certain insecurity about being capable. Mm-hmm. How can I facilitate that? And then my second question is there any danger for you yourself in your own heart to be a mentor or the things that, you know, have been very difficult for you to do?
Okay, the first one, I know that it's not easy for, you know, pastor to, you know, really tend to their women congregation and to mentor to them, but it can be done. And according to Titus 2, I mean, you know, I want to stick with the, you know, older women teaching the younger women. And I'm thinking maybe you can train the handful of older women and train them and teach them and really embed, you know, the important things that they need to know. But allow them to have their niche and, you know, utilize those for... So having the foundation of the scripture and the faith base and then... allow them to kind of be creative in how they reach out. And maybe you can start out that way, and then for them to reach out to the other woman. And kind of like the pyramid, you know, formation, you kind of spread out that way, if that makes any sense. I think that would be powerful. The other question was, did you say the dangers of mentoring as an older sister to younger sister or whatnot? Oh, there's a lot of dangers. Actually, I read something in Today's Christian Woman. There's a website, and they have great articles there too. For me, I would say the dangers of mentoring women is I have this temptation to just kind of promote what I like and what I want. And somehow, you know, I think in this manner, and if she thinks in another form, I want to kind of like make her mold into mine. I think that's dangerous. And I've done that before. And I realized that, oh my goodness, what am I doing? It's not going to work, first of all. I'm trying to fit a square mold into my round mold. It doesn't work. And you just have to let her be square if she wants to be that way. But, you know, but I mean, of course, not in the ways that's, you know, biblical, but in her freedom of how, you know, what she can develop, I can't change that. So that's, I think, for me, the danger of mentoring, where I want to impose certain things on them, and I have to be constantly mindful of that and ask the Lord to really guide me in that so I don't fall into that temptation. Yes?
Regarding age, like older women and younger women, do you ever see like any younger women kind of mentoring older women, or do you feel like is one year age gap okay, or do you recommend us like looking for much older women or in terms of?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a very good question, Kat. Yes. Usually I think going with this model, Titus 2 model, mm-hmm. we want to stick with older women, mm-hmm. Walking with younger women and giving input and teaching and sharing life. But as far as the age context, you know, there has to be, if it's going to be 1 year age gap, the older woman, a year older woman has to be substantially more mature and grounded. And without that kind of difference, I think, you know, I don't know how that will be. Will it really achieve the true nature of mentorship? Mm-hmm. So that's something you could think about, mm-hmm. you know, how you want to go about.
Do you have any books that you would recommend either that I, as a mentor, can read before they mentor someone else?
Mm-hmm.
As like a woman's mentorship kind of thing? And also, do you have any books that you recommend for being or doing alongside like, as a mentor, like on the side?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just because I think there are certain things that you gain from reading something together and really studying it, but I mean, mm-hmm.
Yes. Excellent. I'm sorry, I don't have a printout or PowerPoint on that, but I did what three of my mentors at one point, we did a book on a book study on James called Mercy Triumphs by Beth Moore. It's pretty intense, but I got to really embrace that book and love the book of James, and it teaches such wonderful, powerful things. Mercy Triumphs by Beth Moore, that's one. And that book was really specifically good because you can commit yourself to how intense you want to do it. So there's 5 levels of commitment, you know. You can just do the workbook and do the reading, and there's additional reading, and then there was memorizing the entire book of James. Uh-huh. And then there was more meditation on this. So you can commit to do a few things or all of them. So you can take it at different level, and then you do your study, and then you have a group, and you talk about it, and, you know, you can even go over it specifically together. That's really good. Also, for, I guess, a book on mentorship that I do recommend is Spiritual Mothering, the Titus 2 Model for Women Mentoring Women. And this is by Susan Hunt, H-U-N-T, Spiritual Mothering. You also have that book, what is it, Wisdom, Wise Mentors by Carson Hugh. That's a great book as well. It's not just for men, it's for everybody. And it's just so wonderful and it's so rich that you can glean so much wisdom from that and very practical things as well. If you want more book stuff, I have more. I can give it to you here. Okay. Right. Well, thank you so much for coming. I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. Blessings to you.
Wow. I was recording you.